someone in the seat next to you on an international flight might be getting deported and you wouldn't even know it. But before deportation, there's detention.
And since the new administration took over, ICE detentions have increased by 35%.
All right, Fernanda, but what does that percentage actually mean in terms of raw numbers?
All right, so for example, in a one-month period in December, before Trump took office, ICE detained 9,000 people. And for the month of June, that number went up to 14,000.
And when people are detained, most of them end up in an immigration detention center, which is essentially a prison.
But unlike quote-unquote prisoners, the immigrants detained do not have the right to get free legal representation. There's no, if you can't afford an attorney, one will be appointed to you speech. They're left to navigate a pretty confusing system on their own.
That's where lawyers working pro bono step in. Many of them go help immigrants in detention. And actually, there's an organization in Florence, Arizona called the Florence Project that exists solely to help immigrants in detention.
And with the number of people being detained already getting higher, I flew out to Phoenix to see exactly how much lawyers are needed. I met with Lola Bovel with the Florence Project.
This is you?
Yes, yes.
Lola picked me up at my hotel at 7 a.m. before heading down to the Eloy Detention Center, a giant building that sits about an hour and a half away.
Yeah, it's pretty isolated. I think, you know, doing the drive once, twice, and then maybe the first 6 months, it's not that bad. But I think once you start getting into the year mark, now that I've been with the Florence Project almost 2 years, it adds up.
Eloy is a small town south of Phoenix. There's really not much there. It's just a prison town. Federal and state prisons peppered throughout the desert with immigrant detention centers all around.
We'll do these presentations to talk about people's, what they can expect in court.
The lawyers and legal aides for the Florence Project visit detainees to talk them through the legal basics, so that if they end up in front of an immigration judge alone, at least they won't be totally lost.
These big, like, poster board things that essentially have information on them, and then we talk about what are the quote-unquote rights. So, for example, the right to have an interpreter if you don't speak English, things like that.
The Florence Project staff is small, so they couldn't possibly represent all the thousands of people who are in detention, but they do help connect them with pro bono lawyers. That's a little bit of what Lola does. She's from Miami, her parents are New Yorkers from the Bronx, and she's a managing attorney with the Florence Project. Today, she has a list of about 90 names of men who want to get legal help at the Eloy Detention Center. She'll likely be here for most of the day, so she came prepared.
I have a granola bar in my bag, and I also have, oddly enough, a pizza Lunchable.
So Lunchables are A-okay. Don't bring a breakfast burrito now, but a Lunchable is cool.
I think that's actually, that's right, Fernanda. Yeah.
Seriously?
When we get to the Eloy Detention Center, it looks straight up like a prison. So much barbed wire. It's owned and operated by the largest private prison corporation in the U.S., Core Civic, formerly known as CCA. There's about 1,500 men and women detained here on any given day, and all of them are in the custody of the Department of Homeland Security. And yes, there are people here who have been convicted of violent crimes, but they are the minority.
So what am I allowed to be part of as far as your day?
So you'll be able to essentially stay outside of the detention facility. You can stay in the lobby, and you can also go into hearings because those are public, as long as it's not a private hearing.
Okay, so we're here.
I guess I'll turn this off now.
Lola goes in first. She knows the guard and gets through security quickly. The guard asks me to put my belongings through a metal detector and to hand him my driver's license. He asks me why I'm there, and I tell him I'm a journalist, that I'm here hoping to sit in on some of the court hearings and just observe. He tells me I can go in, but I'm not allowed to bring anything with me. No water, no phone, not even a piece of paper and a pencil. So I sit in the waiting room for about 10 minutes, and the only other person there is a woman with her young son and baby girl in her arms. She has her wrapped up in a fuzzy pink blanket. It's freezing in this waiting room. A guard calls me and escorts me through the locked door. To my left, I see a big open room with a group of men wearing prison-like scrubs, listening to the Florence Project presentation. To my right, women waiting to meet with their lawyers. After going down a couple of long, echoey hallways, the guard opens the door to another hallway and says, "We're here." It's a hallway with doors on each side. The ones on the right have gold plaques with the judges' names on them. Those are their courtrooms. A spokeswoman with the Department of Justice said that they have 58 immigration courts across the country, and 19 of them are inside immigration detention facilities like this one. The courtrooms look like what you'd expect. There's a clerk, a defense attorney, a prosecutor, and the immigration judge wearing a black robe sitting below a large seal. This one says Department of Justice. That's where I meet a man whose nephew, Jesus, has been detained at Eloy for 3 weeks and is going to ask to be released on bond today. Jesus is 22 and ended up here because after a car crash, the traffic cop found out that he didn't have a valid driver's license and that he was undocumented. This is his first time here. And in less than 10 minutes, the judge decided to let Jesus out on a $12,000 bond, at least until his next immigration hearing. His uncle tells me that he's going to drive up to the nearest city to get a cashier's check for $12,000. He tells me that Jesus's parents sold a truck and cleared out their savings so they could give him $10,000. The other two are going to come out of his pocket. Lola and I meet up again in the parking lot and we drive to get food. Turns out the Lunchables weren't much of a lunch.
Just reconvened. You've been in sort of your side of the detention center at Eloy.
She tells me about her day.
We had about 90 people today on the list.
And I tell her about Jesus. I also recap with her about all the hearings I saw. I sat with three different judges. Some people were asking to be let out on bond, like Jesus. Others were asking to be sent back to their home countries. More people than I expected, actually. They were willing to self-deport just so they could get out of detention.
I mean, the way that the judge phrased it, it almost sounded like, and these are my words, like a privilege. Like, that was the vibe that I was getting, which was because you're leaving the country in this way, you may have a better chance of returning if you ever want to apply for whatever from your home country. Did I understand that properly?
I would say so. There are generally less consequences if you're granted voluntary departure. Than a deport order.
As the day came to an end, I wanted to get back to Jesus' uncle to see if they were able to get him out. So I call him, and he tells me that they just left the detention center, and they're headed to an In-N-Out Burger not far from us. That's where I officially meet their 22-year-old nephew.
Jesus Gabriel Quiroz Villalobos.
Hey! Turns out the little boy and baby girl wrapped up in a fuzzy blanket I saw in the waiting room are his kids.
I was just craving In-N-Out for like the past 3 weeks.
and now here you are. What did you eat?
Double-double and some fries and a Sprite. Food in there is just rice and potatoes. It sucked. It's just depressing.
What did you miss the most?
My babies. My son is 2.5 years old and my daughter is 5 months. Honestly, there's a lot of CEOs in there that treat you really well, and they tell you that they're not better than us, and they treat us like human beings. But there's CEOs in there that try to you up. Like, there's nothing but Hispanics. No, and the Hispanics are the most ones most of the time. I would ask them. I told them, I'm like, are you Mexican? I would ask them, hey, man, are you Mexican? And they'd be like, yeah, my family don't even have papers. And I'm like, how do you work here? And they said, honestly, we don't care. It's just a job. I'm like, how? Are you looking at, we're your people, man, and look where we're at. He's like, well, I don't care about that. I'm just trying to get money.
Jesus was born in Mexico and brought to the U.S. when he was 5. He's one of 3 people who were released from the Eloy Detention Center today and says that the other 2 guys also had to pay more than 10 grand to get out.
My lawyer told me that if I didn't get out today, I was going to have to do another 6 months. So I was kind of scared. It sucked. I honestly was in there lost. I didn't know. If it wouldn't have been for my lawyer, I didn't know what to answer. If you noticed, when they would ask me questions, I was so lost, I didn't even know what to say.
And this is exactly why there's such a need for legal representation and legal advice for those in immigration detention. This is why Lola does what she does at the Florence Project. As for Jesus, the plan is to show up to all his future immigration hearings and to have his wife, who's a U.S. citizen, submit the paperwork to get him a green card. Because like most people who spend time in a prison-like facility, Jesus says he never wants to end up in detention again.
Thanks again, Fernanda, and we'll hear back from you a little bit later in the hour. And a quick side note. For the last 4 months, we've been requesting a ride along with ICE agents out in the field to hear directly from them. But ICE hasn't given us a date yet.
Los cimientos dejaron desechos, dejaron gente sin techo. El único hecho es que no te